thank you for listening to this message from Every Nation Church, Cyberjaya, and we hope it will have a positive, memorable impact.
We are in our Great Faith series, okay? So we just concluded our 5 days prayer and fasting for the whole church, okay? And the whole movement as well. And now we are going to go into a couple of weeks of series worth of called the Great Faith, okay? But before that, let me just give you a quick update, okay? Last night, okay, was the first night I stayed over at my new place, okay? So very, very excited. Still not done, tons of things to unpack. I was talking to Pastor Tim's wife, okay? She said when she moved, the last box that she unpacked was a year later, okay? So I don't know how long I will need, but hopefully not too long, okay? But the great thing about staying nearby, it took me literally 2 minutes, okay, just to reach church. Can you imagine that? Okay, 2 minutes out the door, I'm already at church. Wow, how fantastic that. I'm thinking of next time I should just walk it. You know what I'm saying? How many of you walk to church? You... Only none of you walk to church. One man, you got okay. One few people. Okay, all right. Let me ask a different question. Okay, how many of you enjoy walking? Anybody? Wow, so many of you, and yet none of you are walking. Okay, something wrong here. Okay, now of course I know some African friends. Okay, last time we used to tell me, you know, walking, man, that is nothing to us. Okay, that's like every day. You know, I have to travel mountains and streams just to get to school. All nonsense, they all live in the city, okay? But you know, some people do that, but for some people, walking is just such an enjoyment to them, okay? But I think all of us can agree, okay, African or not, isn't it true that today you walk much less than when you were younger, correct? Right? In our younger days, we used to walk a lot, okay? We walked to the mall, we used to walk to school, we used to walk everywhere we walked, okay? But and I don't think it's because as we grow older, we became lazier, but I think as we grow up in life, the way we transport ourselves changed, isn't it, right? And so, for example, like to look at Ender, okay? I think that's quite amazing, okay? Ender, you know, sometimes we take walking for granted, but when you see Ender, when you look at babies, okay, I have one, so I can tell, okay? So, you know, of course, he started off crawling, not even crawling, he started off like... not even crawling, it's like it's moving like a caterpillar, you know what I'm saying? It's like trying to just wiggle around, then he started crawling, then he started walking and running and jumping everywhere. Today, he is learning how to cycle on the bicycle, so he can already work the pedal, so he's bringing his bike everywhere, okay? And so there's an evolution of walking, and yet, you know, many of us, we, in a sense, we forget how to walk. We don't like to walk anymore, okay? I'll give you an example, my wife, okay? She used, you know, I used to live in the place, right? The place is just next to Lim Kok Wing. My wife used to work at Lim Kok Wing. Literally next door, you know. She used to drive to work. You know what I'm saying? We're like, what is this? Okay, so I said, no, you better walk, okay? Get some exercise and all that, okay? But anyway, okay, I'm talking about walking for a reason, okay? Because that's what we're going to talk about today, okay? And so in our great faith, the idea of this sermon series is that it takes great faith to overcome great challenges. You know what I'm saying? So for us to prepare ourselves for the challenges that are definitely going to come into our lives, right, we need to also prepare our faith in order to meet that challenge. Okay, and so today, we're going to look at the Bible, and today's topic is called Walk by Faith. Everybody say, Walk by Faith. Okay, and the text is found in the Bible in Hebrews, and it says this, okay? Why don't we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Okay? So this whole text in the Bible is talking about us, that we need to, in a sense, live by faith or walk out, okay, our spiritual journey or our spiritual life by faith. Okay, and it's so important, this point, that the Bible says that if we don't live by faith, in other words, if we don't walk by faith, right, any other way of walking, right, is considered shrinking back. That means our faith is shrinking back. And the Bible says about faith that shrinks back is that God, okay, his soul has no pleasure in us, okay? And so there's this idea that only by walking by faith or only by living by faith can our lives bring pleasure to God, okay? So for those of you who are Christian here, you know the other verse that says, right, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So there's this idea that in our walk, we need to have faith in order to please God, all right? So just a quick survey among here, among the Christians here, okay? How many of you here, you walk by faith? Amen? Let me see a show of hands, show of hands. Show of hands. Okay, oh, fantastic. Okay, all of you walk by faith. Okay, so that's very, very amazing. Okay, now, the question for all of you who lifted up your hands is, how then do we walk by faith? Is it easy to say that? Oh, yeah, okay, I walk by faith. Yeah, that's great. Okay, but can you tell me, okay, or tell us, okay, how do you walk by faith? Okay, not just those that lift up hands. I want everyone to think here, okay? How do we walk by faith? If you were to advise the person next to you, okay, this is the thing that you need to do in order to walk by faith, what would it be? Okay, and I want you to share your answer with that person, okay? Tell the person next to you, how can we walk by faith? Just tell them whatever your answer is, okay? No right or wrong. All right. Sorry, I gotta ask you also interactive question, okay? If we're not here around the holidays, we had a live group style kind of service, okay? So we had tables all around, and so a part of the whole message was, you know, everybody had to, you know, answer different questions and, you know, interact. Now, so I'm not out of the mood yet, okay? So you need to be more interactive today, okay? So what are some of the answers that your friend gave? Do the Bible, read the Bible. How else? What? Surrender to God. I need what other answer? Devotion. Follow God. Obedience. Oh, okay, well, all very, very great answers, okay? But today, specifically in this Hebrews 10, okay, it talks about how exactly are you supposed to walk by faith? What are the components, okay? What does God look at when he sees you, okay, and evaluates you and I? How does he know that whether you and I walk by faith or not, okay? And so the obvious answer is we need to believe, okay? But belief is a very shallow thing, okay? A lot of people believe in God, okay? A lot. Every Christian believes in God. In fact, we grew up, okay, and if you're an old Christian, you would know, okay, many of your friends, okay, who were once believing with you, today they no longer believe, okay? Today they no longer walk by faith, okay? In fact, you may be Christian, but it doesn't mean that we are walking by faith, correct or not, right? So it is so important to grasp this couple of components of what it means to walk by faith. Are you guys ready for the Bible? All right, so in Hebrews 10, okay, so we go back in verse 32, okay, and it says that, but recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, okay, let's pause there for a while, okay, I'm going to give you the context for this whole passage that talks about walking or living by faith, okay, and so this Hebrew, it was written to a group of Jewish Christians, okay, and it seems that as the writer wrote this, right, he was preparing the people, okay, for the great challenges that they are about to face. So it seems like they're about to face some great challenges, and this was his sermon, okay, to the Christians then, all right? So it starts by saying, recall the former days when, after you were enlightened. Okay, let me explain this whole sentence. It means that we need to recall the days when we just accepted Christ, when we just came to faith, when we just became a Christian, when we were new Christians. How many of you were new Christian once? You guys all started old Christian, okay? But so we all started out somewhere, right, in our Christian walk. And so the Bible says, let's recall the former days. And the word recall here, it's used in a way where, hey, guys, it's not just like, you know, casually just remember this. No. The word recall here, it has this connotation of, you know, you have to try hard. There needs to be some effort for you to recall. Okay, that means you need to put some effort into thinking back, into remembering what it was like, okay? And I don't know about you, okay, but I consider myself old Christian, though I'm not that old compared with some of you who were born in Christian families, right? But I find that when I look back at my younger days, okay, when I just became a Christian, I was so excited, so on fire. Isn't it true that when you think back to those days, right, you felt like, man, you were more bold, right? You had more faith. You were, you know, you were be able to, you know, live a different kind of a life. You know, you were accepting all kinds of challenges. You know, your faith was different. How many of you felt that before? Some, okay, the old ones, okay. So the Bible, it confirms this, okay? It affirms this, that there is something special about our faith when it was young, when it was a bit immature in that sense, okay? And don't get the Bible wrong. The Bible is not saying that we need to have that kind of immature faith. No, the Bible is asking us to recall the former days is so that we can build our lives upon that faith, okay, and bring it to somewhere that is greater, okay? So that's the context of this. He's asking the church to recall the former days, okay? And then he goes on, or the author goes on to describe four, okay, four attributes of what walking by faith looks like or what it needs to have, okay? So we continue the verse, okay? It says, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, okay? So in the former days, you endured a hard struggle with suffering, okay? So the first component that we need to have to walk by faith is endurance. Everybody say endurance. Okay, and the verse continues and says, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. Okay, and so in the former days, or the faith that the Bible wants us to have is a faith that has endurance inside it. Now, some of us, especially if you're not from a Christian family, when you became one, okay, when you believe in Jesus, isn't it true that there is some persecution upon you, especially by your own family members, you know, your relatives. Sometimes you were maybe even shamed or humiliated, or people, you know, looked down on you. And so there were things that we were willing to go through, okay, back then. And the Bible seems to indicate that as we walk on in faith, as we grow up, as we mature, it seems like we are willing to endure less of it. If something happens to our faith, okay, that if we are not walking with endurance, it seems like it's harder to endure things. Okay, let me give you an example, all right? Now, when we talk about faith, right? Everybody say great faith. Turn to your neighbor and look at them and try to impart some great faith to them, okay? Shake them a little bit, touch them, say great faith to them. Great faith. All right. Okay, now when we talk about faith, right, sometimes, isn't it true, we tend to think of faith as something that, you know, if we can only have great faith, man, things will just happen just like that. You know what I'm saying? If I'm going to believe God, man, with all my faith, wow, things are going to, you know, my salary is going to double. You know what I'm saying, okay, right? Right, so we tend to think of faith as something that is something like, it's very instant, it's very now. You know what I'm saying? That means we are not willing to wait for it. Because that's faith, man, right? Well, I want to wait because I have faith, correct? Not that it will happen now and God will bless me, correct? Right? But this is what the Bible says, okay? So it's in the same book of Hebrews, it says, but I bracket is mine to give you the context, but be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, as much as we like to think that, you know, faith equals now, great faith equals, you know, right? But the Bible says right here that faith and patience go together, okay? In other words, I've heard stories, you know, of how, for example, like when a person comes up to me and says, you know, Pastor, you know, I have great faith, you know, that God will give me this job and whatnot. And then the job didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? And then after that, it's like, oh no, now, you know, I don't think God is good. I don't think God is faithful. You know what I'm saying? Right? And to me, I think that, man, I don't think that's great faith. Now, you may have the faith, but you're lacking the other component of that faith, which is endurance, which is patience. You know the Bible, how in some versions they translate patience as, especially I think King James or New King James, it translates patience as long suffering. Okay, emphasis on long. Okay, turn to your neighbor and tell them long suffering.
Okay? And so faith has this component of patience and endurance. So if you ever wondered how to walk by faith, the first thing you need to do to have in your walk is endurance, okay? To patience, the ability to withstand long suffering, okay? Not just one day, no job, okay, then that's it, okay, bye-bye, God. That's not faith, correct, right? Faith is something that is long, and it's really the keyword of faith, right? If you were to say, okay, Joshua, for example, we say Joshua is a faithful servant here. It's not because Joshua, you know, show up on one Sunday to serve. You know what I'm saying? It's because over long periods of time, right? Whether rain or shine, Jay, okay? Joshua was there, faithfully serving. Hence the word faithful, right? So our faith, we also need to have this long-suffering component inside it, okay? So I want all of us to reflect a little bit on your lives, okay? Whether or not you have this long-suffering, whether you have this endurance in your walk of faith. Now, for me, I've been through pretty a lot, okay? But one of the toughest things that I needed to deal with was this church plant itself, okay? This church plant was about a 10-year dream in the making, okay? That means it took me 10 years, okay, from when I first heard God, okay, I think, Bernard, you need to plant a church, you know, in Cyberjaya and all that, to when I actually, you know, took that leap of faith to come here and plant this church, all right? And in between that long 10 years, okay, there were many things that I needed to go through, okay? So just a quick one is I need to overcome depression. I was looked down upon. People thought I couldn't do it. People even told Bishaw, you know, we better don't marry Bernard, okay, because that guy, he'll never amount to anything. Like, wow, okay. Luckily, I'm a pastor today, okay? But anyway, right? And other things that tried to shake my faith. I even had to step down at times, you know, in leadership to learn and humble myself to serve under another leader and all kinds of things that happen, okay? So what I'm saying is 10 years, okay? What we need to have in our faith walk is the ability to endure long, you know, counted in the number of years, okay? Not that God didn't give me a job this month and that's it, right? Years, guys, years. All right, turn to your neighbor and tell them endurance. Okay, so the first component of walk by faith is we need to have endurance. Now, what is the second? Okay, so we go back to the verse, Hebrews 10, 34. It says, "For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourself had better possession and an abiding one." Okay, so the second component we need to have is compassion and joy. Everybody say compassion and joy. Okay, you guys don't feel very compassionate or joyful. So could you turn to your neighbor, okay, with the most joyful smile on your face, okay? Tell them compassion and joy. Okay, yeah. Now, let me put this into context with you, okay? These two words are compassion and joy. It's not that, you know, that just because you have compassion, therefore you walk by faith, but it was really in the context of community because people around them were being persecuted as well, the church, okay? So they had compassion and they had joy in being with one another, even though they lost all their possessions, okay? At least they still have each other. That was the context of this. Meaning to say that every walk of faith, okay, if it's called a walk of faith, it has to have a component of community. That means people must be in your lives, okay? There must be compassion and joy. When you come to church, okay, and you think about meeting some of the people here, is it with compassion and joy, or is it the opposite, okay? In fact, you were so sad that, like, oh, no, I have to meet all these people, or, you know what I'm saying, right? Do you have the compassion and joy, all right? Now, if you have been Christian a long time, you would know this sermon illustration, which I'm going to read to you, okay? You guys, don't reveal it yet, okay, those of you who know. It's actually a story about D.L. Moody, okay? I have it in my phone. Let me just give me a couple of seconds to look it up. Oh, no, I don't have it in my phone. Okay, I'm just going to recall our memory, okay? But don't quote me on this, all right? It's very simple sermon, okay? So D.L. Moody is actually a very famous, very old, famous evangelist. He's a pastor, he's a preacher, okay? Olden, ancient, not so ancient, but older times, okay? And so the story goes like this, okay? One day, he noticed that there was someone in his congregation. Okay, so he pastors a church, and there's someone in his congregation, and that someone is someone who has been coming, okay, faithfully, week in and week out, faithfully serving, and then one day, he stopped coming, right? So this pastor, D.L. Moody, he decided to pay this guy a visit, right? And so when he approached, went to the guy's house, and rang the doorbell, they exchanged pleasantries, how are you, you know what, so on and so forth. Then he sat down. Now, the story goes that it was actually a cold, like kind of winter's day, and so there was a fire that was going on, okay? So this is in, I think, in England or one of those European countries with fireplaces, obviously. And so he just sat down, and he didn't say anything. Okay, so here was the pastor sitting down on a chair in front of the fireplace, and then next to him in the other chair was this congregation member, okay, that stopped coming to church. And so without saying a word, D.L. Moody, he just looked at the fire and he contemplated for a while. Then, as the story goes, he took a pair of tongs, okay, he took one of the coals out, the ember out from the fire, okay, and just set it aside. And both of them, he still haven't said anything yet, watched the one small coal, okay, just slowly die off, become coal, and then become nothing. You know what I'm saying, right? And so, as they were doing that, okay, because it takes a while, okay, for the coal to become coal and die off, right? And so it became time for the pastor to leave, and still didn't say anything. He quickly put back the coal into the burning fire. All right, and the both of them watched as the coal, because they put it back into the fire, it catch the fire from the other coals, right, and it became hot again, and it glowed red again, and the pastor still haven't said anything. He just got up to go. The other guy, okay, he thanked the pastor for coming. Thank you, pastor, for coming to visit me, and thank you for that fiery sermon. I will be in church this Sunday. Okay, he understood the concept, which is, alone as Christians, okay, we will die off cold somewhere, right? But together, we can fan the flames of each other. That's why it's so important to be in community. Whether you like the person's face or not, whether, you know, sometimes people ask me, what's the benefit of going to life group, right? Why do I want to, you know, hang out with all these people? The benefit is this, okay? The Bible says that when you are in community, you walk by faith. Right? And so there are many times, okay, especially in community, where we help people to fan the flame. For example, many years ago, one of the friends that we have, okay, it was she, and she served, almost similar story, okay, she served faithfully, you know, she is one of those who, you know, oh, so believe in God, so passionate for God, but one day, you know, her faith drop off, okay, and so because we were in community, okay, what we did was we couldn't stand it, okay, we felt like we need to bring this person back, and so we organized actually a birthday party for my wife, then we invited her, and along with all the community friends, okay, who used to serve together, you know, to attend church together, and we asked her straight, okay, hey, so-and-so, you know, why did you leave the church, and we had a wonderful conversation. Now, today, not today, let me, She didn't go back to church right away after that, okay? She was still away, but I heard, okay, that today she is in one of the, I think she's in Kingdom City, if I'm not mistaken, okay, attending church, Soul City. I never even heard of this church before. Okay, well, whatever, lah, she's in the church. The point is, we didn't just leave her like that because we are the community. We tried our best, okay? Whatever the result was, we tried our best, okay, to fan each other's flame. Another example that's maybe closer to Cyber Jaya Heart is our brother Tai, okay, in Cambodia. I just sent him a message, a birthday message, you know. Jem was compiling it. And if you know Tai, you know, Tai graduated, went back. He was on fire here. But when he went back, you know, he had difficulties and challenges, okay, especially because he needed to help the family. So he was working, he was taking care of the family. His grandma is old. And so he had trouble going to church, you know. There's someone here. Is McCoy here today? Somewhere. Okay, never mind. Okay, but McCoy, I think, has gone to Cambodia, traveled all the way there, okay, just to meet up with his brother, Tai, okay, just to encourage him and to bring him to church, and he would drag him to Sunday service and talk to him and make sure, okay, that he stays in the fire and he stays in church, okay. And so I'm also hoping to do that one day, okay, go Cambodia and go visit him and all that, okay. But the point I'm trying to say is, do you have such a community or not? Right? Do you have people around you that's able to keep your walk on fire? Because Bible says that's what it means to live by faith. All right? Okay. What is the third thing? Third thing, verse 34. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. Okay, so the third thing is confidence. Let me say confidence. All right, sounds pretty confident. Okay, now, let me go to a couple of definitions. All right, the word confidence is often translated boldness, and in the Old New Testament, it generally relates to a man's freedom because of his new relationship to God. All right, so you can call it boldness, you can call it confidence, all right? But when the Bible says, you know, look back at the younger days, okay, the olden times when your faith had so much boldness to it, isn't true? When we were younger, it seems like in our immaturity that we had more faith to even believe God for big things. So, for example, let's say we had to pray for someone who's sick, correct? You had more faith, in a sense, to believe God that, you know, when I pray, this person will get healed. Correct? Right? And so we need to have that kind of faith, that kind of boldness in us to believe, right, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? Amen. So let me give you an example in my life. Okay, so recently we had the prayer and fasting, right? So we went to different churches, different nights. So I was there for all nights except the Puchong night, which I was super tired because that was the day I was moving house. All right, and so in one of the services, I can't remember where, I think in Every Nation Gateway, one lady came up to me and said, "Wow, Pastor Bernard, you know, remember that time when you prophesied for me in Victory Weekend?" And then she said that, "I don't know if you remember or not, but I felt that God touched me." Like, whoa, like, okay. Now, the interesting thing is, I think we were talking about prophecy with Korea lately, okay, and because sometimes I say, like, oh, why don't we have faith? Let's prophesy like that, right? It seems like it's so easy to prophesy, correct? But the truth is, actually, every time people ask me to prophesy, I'm super scared, all right? And I've got a lot of doubts. And one of my fear is that, you know, what if I say the wrong things? Or even worse fear than that, what if I'm saying what is me and not what is God? You get what I'm saying? What is from me and not from God, correct? Right? And so the story of that lady, okay, came. It was Victory Weekend, I think the recent one in Victory Weekend. And how Victory Weekend is formatted is like, after Victory Weekend, right, there is a prophetic session. So all the participants who sign up for Victory Weekend, they all get divided, okay? And so all the leaders who are there, they group them into two. So I think I was with my wife then. And they just stand around the room, a bit bigger than this, and you just pick like whoever you want. All right, just maybe five or six to a pair of leader. All right, and the leader is supposed to prophesy over you. Okay, so for sure I was super scared. I prophesied over certain few people, and then I came to prophesy over a lady. Not this lady, but this lady's friend. And my impression was, I don't know the backstory. I didn't go and ask her, but it seems that after I prophesied for the friend, she was very impressed. So she went to find this lady that came out and thanked me later on. All right. And got her to come and find us to be prophesied over, to be prayed over. And so, of course, we prayed over her, we prophesied over her. And I think I was prophesied. I remember something about it has to do with a lake, with water or something like that. Now, this lady that thanked me, I'm not the first person that prophesied over her. She had already gone to other leaders. In fact, she has gone to one of our best, okay? Her name is Sufi. If you know those, I think a lot of you who have met Sufi, you know, wow, this person is a prayer warrior, okay? She runs the healing room ministry in Puchong. And so if you want anyone to prophesy over you, to pray over you for healing, all that, it will be Sufi, okay? So she had the longest line, obviously. I'm nobody, okay? A very small, short line. Okay, but she had just come from Sufi. And after we prophesied over her, she said that, you know, all your prophecies is the same. All of you talk about water. So mine got lake. I think hers got something to do with water. And then she got touch and all that, okay? And so when she said that, I was like, oh, I was super relieved because I felt that, yeah, actually, it's from God, not from me, okay? And she was so touched. And today, I look back at that incident with pride because, you know, after people go to Sufi, they come and find me, okay? And they come and thank me. And I'm like, oh, so go, for once in my life, okay, one day, all right, there's some glory here, okay? All, but all glory to God, isn't it? Now, that all that to say is, it's not that it was so easy, but it was really a fearful moment for me also. And I also had a lot of doubts in my mind, right? You've heard the saying, right? Saying about courage or not, where it says that courage is not the absence of fear, it's acting in spite of it. Something like that, right? I believe faith is exactly the same thing, all right? And so, this is my quote, okay? Faith is not the absence of doubt. Faith is acting in spite of it, okay? So that's how I feel that our walk of faith should be. Yeah, we might have doubts. Yeah, we may be fearful a little bit, but if you act out, if you step out in faith, that's what the Bible calls the walk of faith, right? You have the courage, you have the boldness, okay, to live the life that God wants us to live. So that is the third component about walking by faith. Now we go to the last and fourth one. It says here, for you have need of endurance, okay, so double endurance, okay, double emphasis on endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come, and will not delay, all right? I call this eternal sight, okay? The fourth and very last component of walking by faith is eternal sight. And I like how Pastor Jackie from Xiamen, China put it, okay? He asks us this question: how much will you be willing to sell your salvation? Talking to the Christians here, all right? We know that we have salvation from God, right? If you can sell it, how much will you be willing to trade your salvation for, right? Anybody here, 1 million, you're willing to trade 1 million for your salvation? Too cheap. Okay, we will increase the stakes. 1 billion. 1 billion? No? Some of you will text me privately later. Okay, can. Sure, I will entertain your text. Okay, how about 1 trillion? 1,000 billions? No? What's that? Sample? I don't have, okay? But you see, and the point is this, all right? You value the salvation of your soul so much that you're not even willing to trade $1 trillion for it. It means that you are so valuable, correct? Your soul is so precious. You are a multi-trillionaire right now. That is your worth. Okay, can you look at one another? Look at the person next to you. Look at this multi-trillion worth of product, worth of a person, okay? Right beside you. You can't even buy, even if you have 1 trillion, okay? Imagine that. How valuable is that? And so the walk of faith is like that. We need to have the eternal sight. We need to set our eyes on what is eternal, not what is temporal. You know what I'm saying? And the Bible says that when we do that, when we set our eyes, in fact, the Bible says there's even eternal rewards. So something that's even more valuable, okay, that we can get if only we can look far ahead. All right? So these are the four things that we need to walk by faith. Let me check the time now. Okay, great. We are doing fantastic time. What I want everyone to do, okay, so again, a bit interactive. I need all of you to stand up just for a while. Okay, let's stand up with me. Stand up with me. All right? Now, we've talked about how to walk by faith. That's primarily the message today, okay? And we need four components. And before we even get there, the first thing the Bible says to all of us is this. We need to remember the faith that we used to have. That means that we have gone through, all right? So what was the greatest challenge you had to overcome by faith? I want everyone to reflect for a while. Okay? I want you to go back to the days where you had the faith to overcome, to, you know, whatever that you were going through. Okay, all of us have, I'm sure. Whether it was persecution, whether it was a personal challenge, maybe it was a health issue, maybe it was some kind of fear that you dealt with, some bitterness, some, you know, whatever. All right? Just pick one. So I know we have many. Okay, but just for today, just pick one moment. try to remember. I know it's a little bit tough to just ask you to remember like that, but I believe the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the moment when it seems like you had the greatest faith to overcome the greatest challenges of your life then. And I believe God is saying that that faith that you had, God wants to build on top of it to prepare you for the challenges that is to come. Okay? So everyone, you have a moment in your mind, a moment in your past where you overcome some challenges by having faith, by walking with God, by believing in Him. Yes? All right? Now what I want you to do is I want you to group together in groups of two or three, no more. Okay, just find two or three. And we're going to pray for one another, okay? And why I want us to do this, you remember one of the components that we need to have is community, isn't it? We need to stand with each other, all right? And this is what I want you to pray for the other person. So the second thing you need to evaluate is this. Today, your walk of faith, what does it lack the most? No matter how strong, no matter how weak, what is lacking the most? These four things. Is it endurance? Is it long-suffering? The ability to not quit, not give up, okay? To stay in it, to be durable, to last long. Is it compassion and joy? That somewhere on your walk of faith, you lost the compassion and the joy to be around God's people, to be around community, to be around people that would build up our faith. Is it the third thing? Is it confidence? Now, you might even be a leader here, but somehow, maybe you lost your confidence. You lost the boldness to think that, you know, you can do it. To think that, you know, God will strengthen you. To think that, you know, you have God, right? Or is it the fourth thing? And I think I feel this, especially when I get older, when I gather more things and I own more things. The Bible says that back then, our faith, we were willing to give up everything, right? Maybe we had nothing, so we were willing to give everything up. But now we have more things in our life, isn't it? And maybe we're more attached to it, right? So maybe it's the eternal sight that we are missing to be able to see far that, you know, our soul, our salvation, what is eternal in reward is worth far more than every material possession that will ever have. It will be worth far more than every job opportunity, every doubling of salary. It's worth far more than all of this. So in your groups of two or three, just gather together, two or three. Okay, you just move around. It's okay. Don't worry about the chairs. You can mess it up. Just group together in two or three, and I want you to begin praying. Ask the other person, what do you like? How can I pray for you? What is it one of this? And if you don't know how to pray, don't worry, okay? Just ask the other two to pray for you. That's all. All right? Yeah, no stress, no stress. Okay? you 30 seconds to finish up your prayer. If you're done, can I get Jerome and the team up? We're going to worship God for a while. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, Lord Father, because you have called us to walk by faith, God. Father, we stand before you right now, God, Lord Father, and we ask, God, Lord Father, Lord, that you'll pour your Holy Spirit, oh God, Lord Father, into each and every one of us, oh God. Because it is through your Spirit, oh God, that we are able to walk by faith, oh God. So, Father, empower us, anoint us, oh God, Lord Father, with your Holy Spirit, oh God. Guide us, oh God, Lord Father, in the way that we should live our lives, oh God. God, we pray, Lord, that our lives will always be pleasing unto you, O God, Lord Father, that our faith, O God, Lord Father, will arise to please you, O God, Lord Father. So, Father, we thank you for the faith of each and every person here, O God, Lord Father. Father, we also ask and pray, O God, Father, that's the author and perfecter of our faith, O God. Lord, that you will strengthen our walk, O God, Lord Father. Lord, you will give us, O God, the endurance that we need, the compassion, the joy, the confidence, O God, the sight of what is eternal, O God. Lord, that you will give us this things, oh God, so that we can walk by faith, oh God. So, Father, we lift up our spiritual lives unto you, oh God. And we pray, oh God, Lord, Father, Lord, that as we journey, oh God, Lord, that you will guide our every step, our every path, oh God, Lord, Father. We lift it up to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask and pray. And everyone says, amen, amen, amen. The team is ready. Okay, we want to worship God. And before that, let me give you the last scripture, okay, of the whole passage. And why don't we read together? Hebrews 10, 39. 1, 2, go. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Let's worship God.
Like to thank you so much for listening in to this life-changing message. Feel free to join us every Saturday, and you can connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. Every Nation Church Cyber Jaya. Honor God and make disciples. Over time and space unchanged.